Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now, Ed, as we usually do at the start of the week, we look at the news that could drive the markets and also any maybe misallocations that happened over the weekend. And boy, oh boy, do we have a story to talk about already this week. That's trading in GameStop. I read in your morning note, as well as received probably a handful of emails from other guests on this show and other analysts that I follow, outlining some of these crazy moves in the GameStop stock. So let's just recap where GameStop was trading about just over $17, $17.25 on Thursday. There were some TikTokers that were boasting about how they were going to run the stock higher and everyone look at this big buying that's going to come into the stock. So then on Friday, the stock moved up and closed the day at about $65. So already a big move higher. And then today we've seen GameStop go as high as almost $160. Look, obviously, there is nothing fundamental behind this move in GameStop other than the fact that retail traders and some of these millennials seem to have the ability to move stocks aggressively higher. What is this move in GameStop and kind of the social media aspect of it that has driven this stock higher? How are you using this as a barometer for the markets to show you just how different markets are these days?
Well, I think what we're seeing right now is pretty historic. This craziness that is hitting the tech space is delivering a lot of melt-ups here. I think that everyone knows that, you know, when you talk about GameStop, you know, for the most part on Wall Street, the belief was this is Blockbuster all over again, except it's just video games. And what we're starting to see is that I think there's been a this pandemic, what it's really done was it's made a couple of stocks become some fan favorites, especially on the younger side. And the speculative activity, it really, I think, we started to see a boost in June when we got those initial stimulus checks. I think that GameStop, the stay-at-home stock, you know, everyone was bored out of their minds in lockdown. And you saw a tremendous amount of interest. It was one of the Robinhood favorite trades. And what was really interesting, though, over this development over the last week was, you know, you had some of the top short sellers, Citron, come out with their note, their tweet, which kind of, you know, woke up the world. It's just, we're going to outline our five reasons on why GameStop should be at $20. And that really hit a nerve for the Robinhood community and the TikTokers and YouTubers. And what we saw was there was just an unbelievable amount of buying interest that went into GameStop. It went into call option activity. And what you typically see, and you know, what we saw in the summer was that, you know, when we have, you know, some of these call options go to extremes, you know, then, you know, that's when you see, you know, Wall Street has their laugh, and that's when you have the pullback. Well, in this case, what's happening is, you know, the dealers that are selling these call options, they don't want to have naked call options. So they're being forced to buy some more. So you're just seeing kind of the young investor, the young trader is piling in. And now you have dealers that are selling those call options to them that they have to buy the underlying. So it's just providing this like exaggerated move. And that's why we saw the move we did on Friday, which, you know, everyone was kind of like, wow, the short sellers got crushed. And the retail traders, you know, were able to kind of, you know, end the week laughing and boasting of, you know, huge profits. And then over the weekend, this is where things got interesting. So, I will, you know, confess I am not an avid TikTok follower, but I was, you know, curious. And I followed GameStop over the weekend on TikTok. And there was so many different traders that were saying, like, we're going to do it again on Monday. And these are guys that don't have thousands and thousands of followers. It's just, you know, regular people that, you know, maybe they have a handful, but there were so many. And they said, we're going to do it again. And then what we saw was, once again, the market opened and the roller coaster ride happened. We saw those exaggerated moves, as you pointed out, to up to almost 160. And now, you know, I think what you're going to see is eventually these hedges are going to be unwound, and that's going to trigger the selling pressure. So it's just another bubble-like move that you're seeing pop. Eventually it'll pop. I mean, right now shares are down below $79, I think. So the volatility is extreme. It's really pointing to kind of those fears that, you know, we saw before the tech bubble burst. And I think that right now, you know, this is, you know, speculative activity at its best. And I think that it's providing a lesson, though, for, you know, many of us that are kind of used to the, you know, the ways of the retail trader always getting crushed. And that might not necessarily be the case now if we have just the millennial population, which is now the majority, being able to dictate some of these short-term moves and trends. So volatility seems like it's not leaving us anytime soon. And I think that's what you're going to see with GameStop.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's been extremely volatile. But Ed, do you have any insights on how much money these Robinhood traders, or even let's call them TikTok traders, have behind them to cause this sort of a move in a stock that, I guess you can argue, it was rising. The stock was looking fairly good, but these type of moves, they're just completely out of the ordinary.
Very much so. And I think a lot of this was with the small trader, and that means they're, you know, trading, you know, less than 10 call options. So I think it's amazing to see just how small these guys are, but there are a lot of them, and that's why we're having these exaggerated moves. And I think something that you know, the confidence behind these moves is rather extreme. I mean, there is so many boasting about how we're going to take this to 1,000. And I mean, that that definitely seemed a little bit above and beyond what we were, you know, anticipating. I mean, like, the, you know, people, you know, I think the belief is that, you know, 20, 40, 50 were kind of some of the key areas that, you know, people were anticipating GameStop to trade. And, you know, it really is, you know, pointing out, I think, just the exaggerated moves we're seeing. And I think that eventually you're going to see that fundamentals do matter, and this ride will likely end poorly as those hedges have to get unwound.
Doesn't this just go to show at least a little bit that even though valuations are extreme, they can go almost off the chart because of kind of this quick money that's floating around the markets? Because it's nonstop that you're also hearing that valuations broadly for the broad averages are far too high. But man, there's still a lot of money out here and a lot of short-term traders that can swing some stocks and make valuations almost irrelevant.
Very much so. And I think that's why it's going to be important to follow, you know, the big tech plays. So the Apples, the Neos, the Facebooks and Amazons. I think that is Palantir too. I think you really need to see exactly when those bubbles burst, if they do burst. I think that you're probably going to see that until you really start to see, you know, those big tech giants start to see a significant pullback. It's going to be hard to be really bearish on U.S. equities as a whole. So I think that you're probably going to see that, you know, for much of the market, the belief is, you know, you're going to see the speculative activity remain elevated. You know, the you know, there could be some correlation with those stimulus checks if we do get more. I think a lot of people on Wall Street are expecting a lot of that money is just going to go right back into the stock market. So I think that you're probably going to want to, you know, see exactly how we wind up this big earnings week. I mean, this is a this is a giant week for earnings. This is the week that we're gonna, you know, get through the big results on Wednesday. Wednesday is like a super day. You have the Fed, Facebook, Tesla, Apple, all happening, and that's gonna really, I think, be the barometer that will let us know exactly, okay, if the outlooks are strong enough for these tech giants, you know, there's going to be that strong argument that you're going to be able to see the NASDAQ push much higher. And if that's the case, you know, the cyclicals might underperform, but overall, I think people are still going to be fairly optimistic for U.S. stocks.
All right, let's talk about some of the earnings that we are going to see this week. You outlined a lot from the major tech companies. This earnings season is going to be kind of just like the last couple, very difficult to predict. And there are actually a number of companies that haven't even put out estimates for the upcoming earnings. What are you going to be watching most closely when it comes to earnings? And what are your broad expectations of what we're going to see in the earnings?
Well, I think with this week, there's going to be a lot of it's already priced in that the big tech results are going to impress. They're going to I think there's a lot of people kind of ahead of these results that are kind of raising their price targets. I think there's strong optimism that I think the biggest one is Apple, and I think that there's a high expectations that they're going to meet expectations for their iPhone sales. Ultimately, I think that you're going to see that. I think that people are going to be very pleased with any type of calm in the negotiations between the U.S. and China. I think Apple has been really providing some strong upside here with their selling prices, and as they target China and India, I think that people are going to be looking to see exactly if they're able to keep that strong run going. And I think that if we see Apple really deliver, I think that's going to be good enough to provide a strong move here for the just the whole, you know, semiconductor space and tech players. Because I think right now what you're probably having is that investors, you know, have been looking for a reason to fade this rally, and right now it just seems that you're really not getting it. And I think right now, because the expectations were so low for tech coming into this earnings season, remember, tech has underperformed really since around the election in November, and I think you're going to probably see that, and people are just going to be comfortably scaling or increasing their exposure to tech, and that's probably why you're seeing a lot of people just become a little bit more aggressive on their targets for some of these tech giants. And I think the key thing is, you know, future growth and future revenue streams. And right now there's a lot of buzz as far as Apple and, you know, how they're going into the automotive industry again. We'll see if they're successful this time. But I think that the prospects of huge revenue streams down the road is what is really traders, investors want to see. And right now it seems like Apple is they're continuing to go on that initiative. And if they're able to provide more confidence that they're going to be successful, I think people are just never going to give up on Apple.
Is there any chance after we get the Fed meeting and these tech earnings, do you see any chance of money starting to rotate a bit more defensively rather than being so risk on like we have seen over the last few months?
I think that the other key driver is exactly how the negotiations on Capitol Hill go. Right now, and today we did see some softness in equities because Democrats kind of signaled that, you know, talks are going to last a little bit longer than we initially anticipated. I think that you really want to see. I think for the cyclicals, for some of the poor performing stocks to benefit from massive infrastructure spending, and I think what we're seeing is that the you know the first step of the Biden administration is that 1.9 stimulus proposal, and that's likely to get dwindled down. I think what we're starting to see, partisan politics is kind of weighing on that appetite. So in order for, I think, the cyclical trade to come back, you really need to see some sort of progress that Republicans are willing to play ball. And right now it's too early in that stage. I think, you know, we're anticipating that this could be a month-long negotiation. And if that's the case, you're not going to have any, I think, breakthroughs this early. So that's going to be the big driver for the catch-up trade. And that's not going to happen until we really see, Republicans show that they're willing to play ball here. And right now it doesn't seem like that's going to be happening anytime soon. But in the end, I do anticipate you will get some agreement to have some type of joint deal pushed through.
Okay. Well, Ed, I guess this week it is going to be interesting to see if the Fed does anything. All expectations are really no change, but continuing to talk in a very dovish and easy monetary policy tone. But some of these earnings, who knows if the market's even going to react to them? Because in all fairness, the market has brushed off earnings report after earnings report. Maybe this one will be different, but maybe not. Maybe the market will just keep on looking ahead, and maybe we will start to get some of that volatility or a bit of a sell down in the markets. But really tough to say right now because these markets really just continue to move higher and higher. Ed, thank you for your time. Always great chatting with you. I will post a link to the OANDA website, and we will chat again next week. Thanks for your time, Ed. Have a great week.
You too.